On average, smoking rates in Native American communities are higher than the population as a whole, a fact that's not lost on tribal leaders. In order to curb those numbers, some in Wisconsin and Minnesota are looking to their own history. The hope is that by restoring a reverence for the spiritual and ceremonial importance of tobacco, commercial cigarette use will go down. Dina Fine-Marin is the health and medicine editor for Scientific American. Her recent piece is called The Fight to Keep Tobacco Sacred. Dina, welcome back to Central Time.
Great to be here.
Let's start with what Native American groups are dealing with when it comes to rates of smoking. Can you talk about what we're seeing in that population versus the country as a whole?
Absolutely. So smokers make up only about 16% of the overall U.S. adult population. That's 1/6. But it's double the number among Native American communities in the United States. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say about 32% of Native American adults nationwide are smokers. It's a really scary number. And, of course, that can vary state to state. Minnesota, for example, only about 15% of the overall adult population smokes, but the rate jumps to nearly 60% among tribal members.
And this is a huge question with a couple hundred years of history behind it, but what are the ideas about why smoking rates are so high among Native Americans?
Yeah, so it's obviously a complex question. Part of it is the same as any community in a sense that a person may light up in response to many reasons, social pressures to relieve stress and so forth. But one of the driving factors among this community is that tobacco actually had a very rich history among different Native American communities in the United States where they used it for a variety of traditional ceremonies, often not smoking them, in fact, but laying them on the ground for traditional rituals and so forth. But in the United States, until the passage of the Indian Religious Freedom Act of 1978, laws actually banned many Native American cultural practices, including various traditional uses of tobacco. And as a result, many Native American communities tried to find ways to still secretly use tobacco in their rituals, and those included substituting in cigarettes in ways that they wouldn't be detected. So, for example, at a funeral, it used to be traditional in one community I visited in Minnesota that they would take ritually grown tobacco and place it on the ground to offer prayers to the spirit world for the deceased. But since they were no longer allowed to do that, they would instead bring cigarettes, pass them around, and smoke them at the same time as a way to try to keep that prayer tradition alive.
And that brings us to the main part of your piece. You visited with Native American groups, leaders, individuals in Wisconsin, Minnesota, I think North Dakota, and there's an effort to stop the addiction to modern cigarettes by turning back to those older historical tobacco traditions. Can you talk about that?
Exactly so. Yeah, there's a concerted effort among several tribes in the United States to try to go beyond traditional smoking cessation messages like don't smoke, tobacco is bad, and so forth, to incorporate more of a culturally sensitive message, in part because these communities wouldn't necessarily think tobacco is inherently bad, the product they've had a relationship with, the plant, from a long time before big tobacco. So they are trying to grow traditional tobacco on site and in some reservations or in people's backyards, and combine that with efforts to try to teach about traditional cultural uses. So that might mean in the school setting and community centers, and trying to bring more traditional tobacco to community gatherings rather than bring cigarettes. And that, of course, they're trying to couple with other ways to try to combat high smoking rates, including no smoking legislation and enforcement, better access to smoking cessation services, and looking at maybe making some of their casinos smoke-free and increasing costs of cigarettes. So more mainstream messaging and intervention efforts to be combined with these culturally focused ones.
We're talking to Dina Fine-Marin. She's the health and medicine editor for Scientific American. We're looking at smoking and tobacco among Native American tribes, especially in the upper Midwest. And Dina, let's meet some of the people now that you talked to, including someone in Wisconsin who is growing this kind of different style of tobacco. Can you talk about him?
Sure. So one person I spoke with who's a member of the Ho-Chunk community in Wisconsin, his name was David Greendeer, and he was a former legislator in his tribal community. And he grows tobacco in his backyard, but he says that though he grows 150 plants every year for his personal family's use, once you process that and dry it, that only shakes out to about four coffee cans of tobacco to last the entire year. And so that will be used in his community for religious purposes and amongst his family. But he says if everyone moved to something like that, where you're growing tobacco yourself, it would be difficult to sustain the type of practices where you would smoke many times a day with it because, frankly, you wouldn't have enough of the tobacco.
Can you talk about some of the traditional uses his small crop of tobacco might be put to?
Sure. So the traditional practices differ community to community, and some individuals were shy about or sharing that kind of information with an outsider like me. But more generally, I read up and talked to some people about some traditional methods. For example, some tribes place tobacco on the ground or burn it in a dish or shell, and that smoke is believed to carry prayers to the creator. Dried tobacco might be sprinkled on or near a car to ensure a safe journey. If you were dealing with making a deal with something like a contract, presenting a gift of tobacco when a deal or contract is forged is believed to make the agreement more binding in some communities. And, of course, tobacco is widely believed to also be employed medicinally. So let's say a family member is sick, you might bring some dried tobacco and sprinkle it on the bed, and that's thought to protect the patient and serve as a healing agent.
And the tobacco we're talking about, it actually, you write, is a different... the plant is very different from what might be grown to end up in a commercial cigarette.
Exactly. So there are two different species we're talking about here. In the United States, among Native American communities, there's a rich history of growing one particular species called Nicotiana rustica, and that's a short and spindly-looking tobacco plant. It's also got, interestingly enough, much more nicotine than the plant that's used by big tobacco that's called Nicotiana tobacum. And as a result, if you're smoking the traditional tobacco plant, that makes the indigenous plant smoke really hard to inhale. So for that reason, and because Nicotiana tobacum produces much more tobacco per plant, big tobacco companies have moved forward with that latter species instead for mass production. But also the plant that is used by big tobacco does not really bear a strong resemblance to Nicotiana tobacum that was originally grown either, and that's because, like every commercial crop, it's been significantly altered. It bears little resemblance to its ancestors because it's been enhanced for certain traits, for flavor or growth.
You also write that part of what might be in tobacco is not tobacco at all. Other plants might fit that category.
Yeah. What some Native American communities call traditional tobacco, in quotes, might not actually be the tobacco plant itself. It might be a mix of other plants that have also been called that. Particular kinds of willow trees and bearberries were used as well. But for the communities that I spoke with in this article, they did refer specifically to an actual tobacco plant that they were growing. But the term is still used more broadly to refer to these other plants as well.
In Minnesota, you met with leaders in the White Earth Nation, and they're really making an effort to make tobacco a sacred product again. Can you talk about what kind of efforts they're doing there?
Yeah, so in that community in Minnesota, they have a reservation, and on that reservation, about 8 years ago, they started planting seeds for Nicotiana rustica, this more traditional plant. They actually got the seeds from another community, another tribe in New York that kindly gave them the seeds when they asked for it, and so they've been growing them in the community, trying to teach people about traditional use, and that's also gone beyond beyond just the woman who's leading this effort. Her name is Gina Boudreau, and she works on smoking cessation and smoking prevention practices. There's a traditional school in the reservation where cultural practices are incorporated, and one of the practices they're looking at is they've been growing tobacco on site on the campus and teaching the kids about what tobacco has meant to their community and how to use it.
And Dina, this is part of an effort, this idea of sacred tobacco. As you mentioned, it goes along with other smoking cessation efforts. Are there any signs that the needle is moving, that smoking rates are going down?
There there are some early indications that smoking rates are going down in both the Ho-Chunk community in Wisconsin and the White Earth community in Minnesota that I spoke to. But unfortunately, that data does remain pretty anecdotal. Part of the question here is that tribal governments are often the ones that are collecting their own health data as opposed to, let's say, the United States federal government coming in and collecting that kind of information. So this all depends on what the community has chosen to gather data about, what they're willing to share, and whether or not they're capturing large slices of the community. A lot of the data I got on the Ho-Chunk community in Wisconsin came from surveys that they had done of their sizable diabetic populations. That wouldn't necessarily capture everybody. But so far, it does look like they might be moving slightly. And whether or not that is truly because of this traditional tobacco intervention or is, you know, taking place in the larger context of interventions that are happening more broadly and greater awareness about cancer and various smoking-related illnesses, well, that's kind of hard to tease apart.
We'll leave it there for now. Dina, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Dina Fine-Marin is the health and medicine editor for Scientific American. She was with us to talk about how some Native American tribes are looking to lower smoking rates by keeping alive the ceremonial use of traditional tobacco.